from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
All right. I hate to start on a little bit of a negative note here, but damn it, Texas, we got to be better. There's something brought to my attention a little earlier, and I'll be honest with you, it ought to be embarrassing for the adults involved in this particular situation. Clint Hartman, the head coach up at Midland Legacy High School in Midland, Texas, he's the one that posted this and brought it to my attention. Apparently, and the scary part of this is that there is truly a need, obviously, for this kind of thing. The coach posted, "The Texas way. Parents, fans, and coaches, we need your help." And what the Texas way is an initiative that is supported by UIL, Texas High School Coaches Association, Texas High School, I believe it's Athletic Directors Association, in two words. Not familiar with what two words is, but it's an initiative that's supported by some pretty powerful high school organizations here in the state of Texas. And it's essentially addressing this, Ron. And I knew this was a thing. I didn't know that we had reached a point where there needed to be an initiative created for this. But apparently, here's the deal. In recent years, ejections for athletes, spectators, and yes, coaches are on the rise, mainly due to behavior at sporting events. We have less refs that are willing to take the abuse from all whom are involved. In short, we all must do better. Now, the initiative is outlined and kind of addresses several different people, but you got to be kidding me. I mean, look, if you're, I'm doing you a solid. If you're a coach out there, a parent out there, a player out there, and you're doing it the right way, then I tip my cap. But you got to be kidding me. If you're part of this problem and you're a coach, a parent, a player, or anyone involved that has created such an issue that there needs to be an initiative created, again, that is supported by UIL and the Texas High School Coaches Association, some very powerful organizations. So clearly there's a problem. If you're part of that group, you ought to be ashamed. You ought to be embarrassed. And you just simply got to do better. I mean, you have got to be kidding me. I reposted this and just said, look, Texas, we got to be better. So what I want to do is I want to spread the word about the Texas way. Like, this has got to be corrected and the trend's got to start going in the other direction. But I posted this and I reposted it, I guess, from Coach Clint Hartman's Twitter. And I get a lot of responses, positive responses, but a lot of excuses for why it is the way it is. The money involved now, you know, kids transferring and you know, the expectations that parents put on their kids and you know, expect all these kids to be D1 athletes, and they spend a lot of money training them. And so when they get done wrong or when a penalty's called, The emotions are high. Look, man, that's all bull jive. I mean, we're talking about another situation in sports where the adults involved should be embarrassed. The adults involved are ruining a situation where, what is it, 1% of high school athletes go on and play, 2% of high school athletes go on and get paid in college, get a free education because of their, I mean, the high school should be the best times of your life, if we're being, and hell, it ought to be the best times of the parents' life when your kids are out there playing and fixing to leave the house, and the last few years you got with them, hell, it ought to be the best years of your life. But if you're out there and you're part of this problem, you got to tighten up. Your ass ought to be embarrassed.
I would imagine a lot of them don't know they're a part of the problem.
Boy, that'd be hard. I'd hate to live that life. I mean, if you're a loud mouth in the stands, if you're constantly telling the coaches what to do, if you're constantly yelling at, because this isn't just, look, I've been at my nephew's game before, and a basketball ref that's probably making $20 to call that game makes an awful call, and I may just say, ah, it's a bad call or something. So I mean, this is clearly beyond just, hey, that was a bull jive call. I mean, this is clearly to a point where refs, people don't want to ref and get paid cash to go call games at the youth level and at the high school level, and the level of disrespect is clearly beyond, Ron, just the comment here or there. I mean, clearly this is addressing an issue where, I mean, I've seen situations where people have been arrested. I've seen situations where refs have just quit in the middle of it. I mean, I just didn't know it was such a statewide issue. Yes, yeah. I just didn't know it was such a statewide issue that an initiative called the Texas Way needed to be started to address this. So
I like what they called it.
The Texas Way?
The Texas Way.
Yeah, look, I mean, I tip my cap to Clint Hartman, who posted this, and anybody involved that started. I mean, taking something on like this, I think head on is the only way to do it. But boy, what a crying-ass shame it is that we are in a spot where that is high school athletics. It's wow. I just wanted to do my part. I hope all the Texas high school coaches out there, anybody at UIL, Texas High School Coaches Association, I hope you appreciate, if you're doing it right, I hope you appreciate the effort here. I just want to,
in fairness, it is not just Texas.
Yeah, well, yeah.
In fairness, it happens everywhere. A lot of places.
Well, I think it's just the ways of the world, man. But at the end of the day, This is unacceptable. We just got to be better, man. We have flat ass got to be better. And when you get that loudmouth parent in the stands, or that loudmouth coach that won't leave the refs alone, or won't leave the players alone, or won't leave the whatever it may be, it just seems like it's contagious. And others, the next game, others think it's okay. So next thing you know, you got five or six people doing it. Next thing you know, the whole damn fan base is doing it. And it's just, I couldn't imagine trying to coach football, play football under those circumstances. So, again, man, we've got to be better. If you're interested, look it up. The Texas Way, again, it's an initiative. It's floating around on social media where you can read all the details. Again, respect, admire, salute anybody that's involved with putting this thing, spearheading this thing, and taking it on head on, because that's terrible. All right, these Texans, they were at camp today. They had a little practice today, a little 11:30 practice. It's game week. It's regular season game prep schedule and intensity, really. Ron, I'll tell you, at one point out there, C.J. Stroud getting a little animated. We saw in-season C.J. Stroud today get a little animated in a good way, positive way.
Down for nobody.
They were out there making plays, and he was amping his guys up, so he seems to have turned it up a notch.
No, he was really into it. He missed a throw to Brevin Jordan. And it was the last play of the ones. Oh, he was hot. He took his helmet off and threw it in anger because he missed a throw. Like this, he's getting real perfectionist like right now. He was hot at himself about that thing. Like somebody had to walk over, hey man, you good.
Checking on him.
He did. Came off. He threw that sucker.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of good. There was a lot of good out there today, and Ron, I don't know. I mean, it's got to be by design. I don't know to be 100% that this is by design, but it sure seems like they kind of pick and choose who they want to highlight on what day and want to get involved. And I'm sure there's a method to the madness, Ron, but there was today, early and often, and at all three levels of the field, Stephon Diggs was torching folks. Whether we're talking screen game, quick game, we're talking the mid-range game, or we're talking over the top, Stephon Diggs was eaten today. And it wasn't against the twos. It was against the ones. Ron, he just had a tremendous day in terms of getting open, again, on all levels of the field. The interesting thing about, I think, at this point in time for me with Stephon Diggs is I assumed once I saw how hard he worked, he works at practice, and seeing some of the offseason stuff that him and CJ Stroud were doing, I figured there would be a time when, boy, all the stars aligned. The chemistry would be through the roof. Ron, I didn't know it would be this early. That's the thing that stands out to me, other than just the sheer, like, how in the hell does this guy keep getting open so often in training camp and today's practice? But the on-time delivery, again, to all levels of the field, it seems like CJ knows exactly what angle he likes to break his post route. He knows on a deep stop route, second and 16, they're reading each other's body language as they run routes. Or let me say CJ's reading Diggs' body. I mean, mid-season form right now. The chemistry between those two guys and those two guys being on the same page has been absolutely remarkable, and it was showcased today in a big way.
I got to tell you, man, I am one that had concerns. Like, there, you know, obviously I had the concerns of, all right, what, you know, what's with the drama? What's the baggage that he brings with him? But I was also one that wondered, was that just a fluke? Was that just because Ken Dorsey was let go and Joe Brady did something else? I wondered if his skills or if he was at a 10 all those years with the Bills when he made Pro Bowls and All Pros, had he dropped down to a 7 or an 8? I was one that wasn't completely convinced that it was just the offense that changed, and that was why his production dipped so far down from what we had seen him previously with the Bills. Like I said, I've said it, mid-August was the last time he had a 100-yard game, and he had tons of them before that, not just in the year, but the previous years. I had been one that wondered if his skills had taken a dip a bit.
Fair.
And he was bringing that here. Clint, today was just another example of how much he has been clearly the top target, the top receiver, the one that can go do the most damage. Clearly, that has been the case throughout camp, and he does not look like he is somebody who has lost a step.
Yeah,
that's what's jumped out to me.
I hope, which I think, again, this week the Texans appear to be prepping for this game as if it's a real game. And I'll be honest with you, I'm starting to get the feel that this is going to be C.J. Stroud and the starters for the first half.
I think so.
And then probably one drive out of halftime to get that full dry run of a game, if you will. The adjustments need to take place at half. And I'm anxious to see how much run Diggs gets with the ones. I doubt he plays as much as CJ's obviously going to play, but because they're rotating some guys through there. But, boy, I am anxious to see this in NRG Stadium, and the tip of the spear is Diggs. I mean, the receiving group is obviously big time. As we talk about Diggs, Ron, we've talked about this a million times, but it's just it's worth talking about again and again and again, because there's when you look at Diggs being the motion guy and you look at Diggs being a guy that they can almost just decide, hey, we want to get number one to football and here's how we're going to do it. We're going to attack him quick and in the screen game. We're going to attack him mid-range, deep, whatever. We just got so many different options here. He's so versatile, right? And he's long in the tooth in terms of being a vet. And so the ripple effect of that with this receiving group, we talk about how great they are all the time, but the reality of it is Diggs being here, again, allows Nico Collins to be that boundary receiver that is a real true safety net, safety outlet for C.J. Stroud. We're watching practice today, and obviously there's a tight end and two receivers to the right, and Nico's to the left by himself on the ball. And they motion Mixon out of the backfield and to the slot to Nico's side. And Mixon runs a seam route, and for some reason, linebacker runs with him, safety deepens. But when that little bit of motion happened, the corner backed off of Nico Collins. He was up press on him, then he backed up off of him when that motion happened. And C.J. took the football, boom, drove a 10 out of 10 hitch right on his face mask at about 5 or 6 yards deep, and who knows what Nico would have done with the football after he caught it. But that's the just taking candy from a baby, just easy. Hey, it's there, throw in the ocean. Let's go get 6 or 8 yards. If Nico can break a tackle, it might be 25. But always having that in your back pocket. Bobby Slowick not having to move Nico around and do all these different things with Nico Collins. The ability to just put him right there is such a valuable weapon and so important to C.J. Stroud to always know if this defense overplays Diggs and Tank and Schultz in the run game at all, I'm just going to get this 10 out of 10. I'm just going to get this completion to Nico and let him do work. That ripple effect that direction. And then you look at the ripple effect towards Tank Dell, just the ability for Tank to only play one position offensively and not have to know everything, not be the move guy and process all the movement, pre-snap movements and all that. It's not that he can't, but just to allow him to settle in at one spot and have less of a playbook load, if you will, is tremendous. But I really think that there's a chance we're going to see him in that return game.
Because
I'm talking about a significant amount.
Yeah, because last year, I mean, like you couldn't even afford to even think about him getting
You wouldn't
up
think so.
Because of...
It was a much bigger risk, yeah, right? Because if now, you lose him on the offense, yeah, boy, you're losing a weapon.
We saw it.
Yeah.
I don't know. That would be interesting. I still feel like it would be spot.
Special teams, you talking
spot,
about?
Like special.
Yeah, I think it's fair. Like situations.
Situational.
Need a big return.
Because I think Des King is still a good kick returner, or Sims. And I feel like Sims, that's probably why he's on the field and obviously scored the touchdown.
That's going to end up, Ron, that is going to be on cut day. When they have to cut this roster down, it's going to be interesting if we'll tell. Again, there's several things about how they construct the 53-man roster. I know Nick will talk about 80 guys or however many, 70 guys, whatever, but the 53-man roster, that initial construct, if you will, is going to be interesting because if Tank can be the return guy, if Tank and, let's say, Damian Pierce can be the return guys, then that changes what you do with the fifth and sixth receiver. It doesn't need to be Sims.
No,
it doesn't need to be Xavier Hutchinson at that point in time, right? I mean, because you don't – those guys are your return guys, your emergency return guys. So there's – I wonder how Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans are gonna construct this thing out of the gate. It can always change, but that is going to dictate how they deal with that fifth and sixth spot at the wide receiver position. Is Tank Dell in the return game?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. He's obviously a difference maker. It can be. I do wonder how he got hurt last year. I think that probably plays an element on how much they want to put him in that situation. Because even though I think obviously they have Diggs now this year, if he gets injured, it still does change that receiving.
Hell yeah, it does.
You know, core and what you Absolutely. Want to do with that big three. All right, coming up, the Astros lineup is out as they look to try to win 8 straight. And we got to pay attention to the guy who is leading this thing. And now I think the future has probably changed on him. Alex Bregman, are you at the point right now where it's a priority for your Houston Astros to bring him back and sign him long term?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
That's coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
And remember, it is Wednesday, so coming up at 4:40, our guy Brandon Scott will join the show, so stay tuned. Stay tuned for that right there.
I don't see no bitches nowhere around here.
I know it, man. I know you don't. Saw him out there at camp today. He's been all around the place. Was at Hall of Fame, the Houston Sports Hall of Fame induction. So B. Scott's been all over the place. He'll join us coming up at 4:40 as he does each and every Wednesday. This man, Alex Bregman, he finished second in the MVP. This may be as hot as he's ever been. I mean, he may not see the ball as well as he ever has right now. And Tyler, you might want to grab him on the total bases again, the way he's talking.
Oh, I'm on it.
And acting like he's swinging the bat. This was Alex Bregman, the man who was the co-offensive or the co-player of the week with Yordan Alvarez, man who has hit four home runs in four straight days, first time in his career doing that, one of the hottest players in all of baseball, if not the hottest. This is him on what he's seeing and how he's feeling at the plate right now.
I feel really good, man. Just trying to keep rolling, stick to the same things we've been doing pre and post game. I feel like swinging it as good as I ever have in my career, so I feel good.
That says a lot. You've had some pretty big moments and big stretches, so it's that good?
I feel like it. I feel real good right now. I feel like I learned a lot over the last few years, and I feel like just trusting the work that we're putting in pregame, and I feel really, really, really good.
Said he's feeling good, baby. Feeling good. That's big. He's had a lot of big moments and a lot of great years.
Is Braggy being ridiculous?
And my man to say this is the best he has swung the bat in his career right now. That's a big thing to say coming from him right now. And I mean, the numbers are crazy right now. He does have the feel, and Yordan has had this feel sometimes. Kyle Tucker has had this feel before. Obviously Altuve. But he does have the feel where it's almost like he's going to get a hit every time he gets up there. Like, it feels like he's at least going to hit the thing hard somewhere.
Well, he's going to hit it on the button. He's going to hit it on the button, and right now it's just he's seeing it so damn well. I mean, in what is it, the last eight games? He's hitting .432, four doubles, five homers, eight RBIs. He's slugging .946 with a 1.421 OPS. I mean, it's what he's doing right now is absolutely ridiculous. It's hard to believe. I don't have the history in front of me. I'm sure somebody, some of my advanced stats folks out there can find it pretty quickly. But I don't know that I ever remember him having a run like this at the plate. I mean, he's had some good runs, but boy, what he's doing right now is absurd.
Yeah, just in particular, just how hot he is right now is crazy. Obviously, the MVP year, he was something else, but this is nuts. And I gotta believe this is making not just Astros fans, maybe it's making guys in that front office feel a little different about the future of Alex Bregman. Because I'm going to tell you right now, Tyler, I don't know where you were or where you were, Clint. You'd have told me, I would have thought this was his last year.
me too, 100%.
Like, and I think both sides maybe, you know, kind of going their separate ways, just saying like, hey, I know I've said earlier, that is a place maybe you can spend cheaper and get the same amount of production, especially production, if not better, what he was given to start the year. It just felt like that was kind of be the end of the line. We've seen him move on from Gerrit Cole. We've seen him move on from Carlos Correa, Springer, Verlander once. We've seen them move on from certain players, and this just made sense, Clint, that they would move on him. But now I think that is a completely different conversation.
Look, he was putting a new definition on slow starter. I mean, he was yeah, not doing himself any good. I mean, he was allowing Jim Crane, Dana Brown, and everybody involved to be like, yeah, it's not a good investment, especially on the back end or literally right in the middle of what was going on with Jose Abreu and Rafael Montero. And now you got a guy that's going to command some – even when he wasn't swinging the bat well, his resume is going to command some pretty big dollars. And so you got to believe that again, Crane and Dana Brown and company were looking at this like, nah, we just ain't ready. We ain't going to make that – you know, we're going to make that investment. Well, now – the game has changed, obviously, and although he did, I just can't handle the slow start. Don't understand it, the slow starter thing that then gets this hot. But hey, we're here, and there's a couple of things about Bregman. Obviously, you know, defensively, he's a monster at the plate right now. He's swinging it as well as he's ever swung it. The film don't lie, the numbers don't lie. I mean, everything is right there for it. To me, the thing that makes that like sets this apart and sets it over the top, where I say you can't let Alex Bregman out of town. It's very similar to why. Again, I'm glad they ended up not listening to me and went the direction of letting Carlos Correa go, because Pena's been fine and Correa has not maintained that level of play. I don't believe, but the leadership that either we just didn't know about or he has currently embraced. And the stories are starting to come out of Bregman with Verlander a couple years ago and then Verlander and Hunter Brown, I think, in the past. And then most recently, Bregman and Spencer Arrighetti.
Yeah, that this year, yep.
It just seems like he is embracing that leadership role, and I know a lot of people like to minimize that, but I'm not one of them. I think it's absolutely paramount, and in this organization, they need it now more than they ever have, and it seems like Bregman has become that guy. So whether you're talking about defensively, you're talking about at the plate, or you're talking about filling that void from a leadership perspective, it seems like Bregman. All those stars are aligning at the right time. I don't know how you justify letting this guy out of town.
You know, the other part with that is he's in a different spot than some of the guys like Cole and Correa and Springer, that with his age and what he's done, like he's coming back at it right now. But if you look at it, like I believe off the top of my head, I think he's hitting .263 with like 19 homers and 59 RBIs. That is big from where he was and where he started, but not like, you know, Aaron Judge or Soto, you know, numbers where it shouldn't be crazy. And at 31, Clint, I don't think he's looking for some sort of 7 to 9 to 10 year contract. And this may get closer to the wheelhouse of what Jim Crane and company like to spin, right? Like guys that, and maybe not Jose Abreu old, but guys that are maybe not as long term, that it has to be 7, 8, 9 years. This isn't Tucker like. So this actually may fit into the sweet spot of what Jim Crane and the Astros like to do.
I think Bregman to me is, I think he's viewed by the organization in a similar light to Altuve. And I'm not saying he's the best Astro ever type of light. I'm just talking about as a guy that, you know, that was with him through thick and thin, that after the sign stealing scandal, that he was, him and Altuve were the two that they put out there. He was obviously, you know, self-made. I mean, Astro born and raised, ultimately drafted and developed. And I feel like the organization probably values him even right now more than other organizations would. I don't know about Bregman though. Like, I can't get a feel for Bregman in terms of what he, you know, what he, where he's at. Tucker, I feel like he could just soon play baseball on the damn moon. Don't matter. Just pay him some money. Bregman, I can't feel if he's more on Altuve level or is he leaning more Kyle Tucker level in terms of don't really matter whether he plays in Houston or anywhere else.
Yeah. All right, Brandon Scott, Texans report coming up here in the next segment, 4:40. It's Wednesday. Brandon Scott will get his thoughts on what he's seeing getting ready for preseason game number 3. And in particular, this is the first time we get to potentially see this entire offensive line and Joe Mixon together. We'll get his thoughts on the Texans coming up next.
Football in H-Town is on the rise.
I love D'Amico Ryans, man. I tell you what.
H-Town, I'm back.
Our guy, B. Scott, has all the latest from the gridiron.
I don't see no bitches nowhere around here.
It's time for your weekly Texans report.
You ain't laying down for nobody.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome in. It is Wednesday, Texans report day. And hey, reminder real quick while we have Brandon Scott who joins us for his Texans report every single Wednesday. Coming up, 5:25, the second segment in the 5 o'clock hour. Second segment in the 5 o'clock hour. You can hear from the head coach. We sat down with D'Amico Ryans, and you can hear our full interview, one-on-one interview.
I love D'Amico Ryans.
Myself.
Man, I tell you what.
Thank you, Kevin. Myself. Love you too, Harlan. Hope he gets the gig at NBC. He's the number one basketball guy at NBC. I don't know what they're going to do there, him or Brian Anderson. Anyway, as a side note.
The guy is drunk.
But no, he sat down with Clint and myself, and you'll get to hear him cover many topics, including the running game, including Kamari Lassiter, Bullock, including the defensive line, Christian Harris. He covers that. So be listening at 5:25, second segment in the 5 o'clock hour. You can hear that. All right.
Ian Eagle's got to be – not Ian Eagle, the son. Noah. He's got to be the front runner for that job, though, just since you brought it up.
The lead guy? Oh.
Got to be the front runner. I didn't mean to derail you, but you got to be thinking about it.
I've seen him. I know he's doing some of the Peacock football games with Todd Blackledge, but
he did the Olympics, man.
I know that ain't.
It was really good.
All right. It ain't bad. I hope Dwayne ain't the sidekick.
No, I'm with you on that.
If Dwayne Wade comes up with another white man can't jump reference in the middle of the game. I mean, he was reeling them all out, Clint. Oh, it was so pretty. He was doing them all.
Oh, was he?
Oh,
I caught a couple of them. I thought he was pretty good. I thought he was pretty low key. He was really mellow, the couple that I caught.
I enjoyed him, but I did not feel like he would be the best choice once they get down to it. I enjoyed him for what it was, the Olympics, his connection to it. Obviously, yeah, he's got the Olympic history.
I don't feel like Western Conference Finals.
No. Me neither.
Well, that'd be okay. Just get you a little regular season money and get the hell out, man.
He made a couple pronoun jokes that I thought were interesting for him to go with. So, yeah.
All right, Brandon. Anyway. The offensive line, we're seeing some injured guys get back on the field. And to me, including that offensive line, and I know for me, that is a big thing to watch because the one thing we haven't seen, there's a lot of excitement, and there should be. And what we see here, and we saw Tank Bam immediately make a big play, but the run game – thus far, they have not had Titus, and they have not had Laremy Tunsil. But the running game up to this point has looked more like it was last year. I'm excited to see Mixon and the whole crew together to see what that run game was.
Yeah, to me, that is the story of the week. Like, each individual day, and y'all go out there, each individual day is its own story, and you'll find something different. Like today, for example, it was just like, yo, look at this Stephon Diggs cat. We already know what he's about, but, like, it was on full display today. But to me, like, overall for the week, it's the return of your offensive line or your offensive line getting whole. I don't think we can stress it enough how important it is that they be whole. It's almost kind of similar to the defense to me where, like, the difference between the first-string guys and the guys behind them is not marginal. It is significant. Yeah. So, to me, that's the big thing. Laremy Tunsil returning to practice or really showing up for the first time outside of, you know, working on the side. And then Titus Howard coming back from being banged up a little bit. I think it's also important that Tytus Howard, and we talked about this a lot, but he didn't play his actual position. He didn't just play out of position last year. He played a position that I thought was the opposite of a complimentary to him. Like, it made him look like far less of a football player than what he was. That had its impact on the team, and it had an impact on him individually, I thought. I think the way it is now, the way it's supposed to be, is going to be a lot better both for Tytus Howard as right tackle and then therefore for the Houston Texans running game as a whole. I'm excited to see what that looks like, especially this weekend.
Well, it's got to look significantly better. And here's – I mean, I think we – As a whole, we've got to get the standard back to where it needs to be.
I could not agree with that more.
I'm just basing it off some of the brief conversations Ron and I've had, and some of the brief conversations I've heard recently. You know, most of them revolve around Dameon Pierce, right? And it's the Dameon Pierce yay or nay, and have you had enough or not kind of deal. But if you look at what's going on up front with this football team, and it looks like backups are playing.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it looked like a right guard or an interior guard was playing right tackle last week. I mean, there was a rookie linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers that looked like Palomalu. I mean, not Ray Lewis and none of them boys. I'm talking about hitting creases and getting it. I mean, you had offensive linemen getting pushed back on run plays 2-3 yards on play side, right? Not backside, play side. Like at the standard. As we watch, at some point in time, we've got to get beyond. Like Ron and I have talked about it, and we fall victim to it. We're sitting there talking about it. Like, well, last year, man, we just had them guys that were just running through. They'd split double teams. Well, yeah. Clearly, that's a problem. But, damn, we got to get beyond that, right? Like, our expectations have to go up significantly for this offensive line.
So, I'm glad you phrased it that way because I think this is two-part. The big development this week was, hey, you get your tackles back. You get Laramie Tunsil and Tytus Howard back. But I think if we put it all together, and this is speaking to your point, Clint, the fact that Kenyon Green and Juice Scruggs have looked better than adequate, like there's pieces.
They've more than held their own.
They've more than held their own, but they've also played with those backups. They've been more than holding their own with those other guys.
And they haven't looked like backups.
Exactly. And so now bring it all together. Let's bring this all together. The big questions that we had for the offensive line were at left guard. And I think less so for center, but you had to at least ask the question since Juice Scruggs was playing out of position, was a rookie last year. So he's going to play center for the first time in the NFL. So that is at least worth discussing, worth saying, hey, what's that going to look like? Now, we're confident in it, but you take that. You take King and Green, finally, at least, knock on wood, seemed like it's starting to come together. Now, okay, Tytus is back at his natural position. Yeah. And Laramie Tunsil
pointed up.
Tunsil and Shaq Mason, you probably know what to expect more than anybody.
Yeah.
And so bring all of that together. What does that mean for, oh, by the way, you upgraded at running back with a guy that looks different from anybody else in his position group, and Joe Mixon. So, yeah, man, I think I agree with what you're saying about raising the standard, but I also feel like the quality of play is going to be raised by these adjustments that have been made with the line.
Look, B. Scott, if let's say the starters, by the way, you think starters play the first half?
Well, the whole half?
Yeah. I think the quarter.
Yeah, I would go. I would think quarter.
Well, if they play the whole half,
I would be pleasantly surprised because I'd like to see it, but I doubt it.
Well, I tell you why I think they're going to play the whole half is because Davis Mills didn't take a rep today, so that tells me their backup quarterback isn't prepared to play and they don't want to play him in the fourth quarter. So I think the starters are going. Anyway, the point being is if we get a quarter, if we get 3+ drives, if we get a half of football, right? We should see. I think this is more than fair. We should see 4 or 5 runs where B. Scott, you could have went and got 5 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a preseason game. It's going to be fairly vanilla. They're not going to be overloading the box. Not all the time anyway. And with this group up front, there should be movement. Like, we've just grown accustomed to thinking the running back should make somebody miss every damn play.
Because they've been doing it the last 2 years.
Right.
It's been the situation.
You got 3 first-round picks, a second-round pick, and a guy that's won Super Bowls on your offensive line. You've got arguably the best tackle in the game with Laramie Tunsil. And I know that's tilted or slanted towards pass protection, but damn it, he's a big-time NFL offensive lineman. I mean, we should see 4 or 5 runs where Joe Mixon ain't touched for 4 yards. I mean, am I crazy?
No.
It's like we've just become cool with expecting a running back to do all of this other stuff. But they
haven't really shown that, though, yet.
Well,
no, they haven't. Wait, that's my point.
That's what I'm saying, to expect it, though.
No. on well, Clint's hell. Point. No. Wait a second. On Clint's point about standards, like it's put your money where your mouth is, and in this case, put your mouth where your money is. Like the Texans invested, and I don't think we can overstate this. They invested more money and more capital into that offensive line last year than any other team in the NFL. And they didn't get their money's worth out of it because guys was hurt, dropping like flies and all of that. We understand what happened. But all those guys, same guys, are back, right? Like all of those same guys are back. And so I'm not exactly sure if it's still the most expensive offensive line, but you catch the drift. It is an expensive as hell offensive line between draft capital, between the extensions that they've paid. In Titus Howard's case, it's both because he was a first-round pick who's now gotten his second contract, right?
Yes.
Shaq Mason is somebody that you traded for. He might be your most reliable guy. We understand Laremy Tunsil's had two extensions. Kenyon Green, first-round pick. Juice Scruggs, second-round pick. Like, what they've invested in this offensive line. I understand what you're saying, Ron. Like, they haven't shown that. But to Clint's point, damn it, it's time.
Because
y'all are an expensive group.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's time. But, for me, I just – from what they've shown, it's like John Metchie. Like I know they invested and moved up to go get him in the second round, but I don't expect John Metchie to be running away from people until John Metchie starts to show me he can run away from people. And right now, this offensive line has not given me any reason to expect that they should have Joe Mixon running for 4 yards without getting touched.
We also haven't seen it whole and proper, back to the earlier point. Like, we haven't seen Titus where he's supposed to be. We haven't seen Juice where he's supposed to be. And Kenyon Green ain't been right, really, but for a game or two his whole career.
I know what you want, but, like, when you say, all right, we're adding Titus and Laremy, does the thing come in your mind is like, hey, this run game's about to go up a notch. Is that what you think about when you add those two?
Again, I ain't seen enough of it, so I can't tell you for sure, but what I say is it better.
Well, damn it!
I know.
Right?
Clint don't think that on that left side.
No, I don't. But that's the point. It's like we gotta quit talking about running backs and what they are or aren't doing by the way they make a guy miss 4 yards deep in the backfield. I mean, you got a linebacker last week that just screens through that like play side,
just rolling through.
I mean, it's just like what the hell? What do you expect? I mean, this didn't make a guy miss, even though Damian Pierce did make him miss one time and went and got 7 yards. Like it's. I mean, at some point in time, we've got to see something from these guys that is like, whoa.
Yeah, well, even in Damian Pierce's rookie season, okay, we focused so much on how much Damian Pierce was making happen, and we remember that team
did not
have a lot. But the thing that we should have really been focused on was like, man, look how he's having to make it work. Yeah.
He was making lemonade.
My man was making lemonade because he was getting hit. Like in the backfield, as soon as right at the line of scrimmage, he had to make a guy miss. He had to run through a you know what's face, because that's what the offensive line was. This should not be that.
Real quick before we get out of here, I know we're close on it. You concerned about Christian Harris?
Yes. I don't know how you can't be.
You concerned about his availability for week one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much so. Concerned about his availability and concerned about the injury overall. It's a calf.
We don't like that.
But to what degree? You know, it's a strain, but like, is it like really torn? Like, how bad is it really? And they're not going to tell us. But when he comes back to practice or practices for the first time and then he's almost immediately out of there, that's concerning.
He's practiced 30, 45 minutes in training camp this year.
Now, I know he went hard in the offseason. Sometimes I wonder, like, did he go a little too hard in the offseason to the point where
I thought
now
it was
he's
a hamstring skeezy. Now I'm hearing it's a calf. You know, that's got me concerned.
Yeah. No, it's not good. I don't love it.
Yeah. All right, that's Brandon Scott every single Wednesday, 4:40. He is bringing it on The Drive. Catch all his work on Sports Radio 610 as well. All right, coming up, we'll get you ready for this Astros game and some injury points for a team that the Texans play this year and another team that I got high hopes for has an injury to a quarterback of theirs. We'll discuss that coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.